tell you.
Lizzie had learned, as Auntie Blythe had called it, the ins and outs of marital relations. She spared no details on how a man's body fit with a woman's and how his caresses might stray in exciting and shocking ways. She had explained that a woman should find pleasure in it, but that a powerful man with charm and experience could use the intriguing, mysterious pleasures of her response to coerce her into believing herself in love. Before she knew it, she was ruined. Lizzie's mother had nearly suffered apoplexy when she realised what Auntie Blythe had revealed.
"I don't want Lizzie taken advantage of the way I was," Auntie Blythe said without remorse.
There had been a huge row. Auntie Blythe had left for the continent, only returning recently. Lizzie had been punished too. Her friends had begun coming out, but her mother had made every excuse to keep Lizzie from balls and parties and fun. She wouldn't have her turn out like Auntie Blythe. It would have been a dreary punishment indeed if Lizzie had not taken Auntie Blythe's advice.
Take matters into your own hands. Understand the power of your own pleasure so no man can use it against you.
Lizzie didn't have words for the rush of urgent joy that overcame her when she touched herself late at night, alone in her bed. How could anyone describe it? It was no wonder her aunt had been overthrown when that older man made her feel such things. Two things brought Auntie Blythe back to London. Ostensibly, she returned to attend the Prince of Wales's fete at Carlton House, celebrating his assumption of the regency. Lizzie believed, however, it had been her mention of David in her letters. At 32, he had inherited a healthy earldom and a seat in the House of Lords. Lizzie's father was mentoring him. Lizzie's mother threw him at Lizzie every chance she found. Auntie Blythe wasted no time in offering to host her niece's coming out ball, setting a date after Easter, effectively blocking Lizzie's mother from marrying Lizzie off before she'd had a proper season to see for herself what's out there. Her mother was incensed. "This is how she behaves," she had railed behind the door to Lizzie's father. "And you let her." Lizzie had tuned out the shouting. She was ecstatic to have a ball. She had kissed David and let him squeeze her breast, but she felt cheated at having no other experience, especially when the mere thought of Victor excited her far more than the real-life attentions of dull David. Her ball became the event of the season, mostly because Lizzie's mother ruthlessly vetted the guest list, making it very exclusive. Victor the Virile would not be invited. She had stroked a line through his name three times, to be sure. Lizzie was annoyed by that, but her aunt proposed at the last minute it to be a masked ball. The party became more anticipated than ever. The day arrived and Lizzie was a bundle of giddiness, but she had no one with whom to share her feelings. Her friends were in their own homes, preparing for the evening. Her mother was lying down with a headache. Lizzie's three older brothers were the furthest thing from interested. Only Auntie Blythe would find all of this as diverting as Lizzie, and Lizzie wouldn't see her until tonight. With a sigh, she dismissed her maid and indulged herself with opening all the gifts and parcels and packages that had arrived for her. There were new petticoats and hose and the satin dancing slippers that her aunt had ordered from London shops and forwarded on to her. Friends had sent her hair ribbons and eau de toilette, sheet music and embroidered handkerchiefs. Lizzie spent ages opening and admiring all of it, feeling spoiled and special, and wondering if this was how her wedding day would feel. She was about to ring her maid to put everything away when she shifted a hat box and discovered with delight that it held one final gift. It was a pretty ebony box with gold initials from...